The best new releases of the week. 2010 with Richard Kingsmill on Triple J.
Time to get into the second half of my conversation with Matt Berninger, who is the singer with The National. I spoke to him last weekend on 2010 about this new record. We went into the high anticipation that a lot of people are holding for this new album. And he also spoke about his lyrics. And even though a lot of people think that they're very sad and mopey, he actually says there's a lot of humour behind the lyrics that he writes for The National. If you want to hear that first part of the interview, by the way, it is up on the 2010 page on the Triple J website. But let's get into the rest of my interview with Matt right now. I also wanted to know, fans in Australia here, if there was anything in particular they wanted me to ask Matt. And Lockie in Adelaide sent me a tweet just before the interview and was desperate to know more about the songwriting behind that track, Lemon World. It did twig my imagination as well. The lyrics in there are rather curious, so I asked Matt to explain the song.
Lemon World is like one of the songs on the record that's just a total escape and a sexy fantasy of going to some place. It's like some mansion out in the woods that these sisters who, these sexy, beautiful, brilliant, you know, evil sisters or something, you know, who wear bathing suits are there and you escape to them and they get you drunk and it's a total visceral mental fantasy land, you know. And, you know, I think some of that's inspired by my wife and her sister who are both brilliant, sexy and hilarious. And there's a scene at the beginning of The Great Gatsby where Daisy and I forget the other one's name, but are laying on this couch and the wind is blowing their dresses up in the air and the curtains, and they're in this devious kind of sexy, weird, creepy beauty. And I think that came into that a little bit. Yeah.
It sounds like a really filmic song. It sounds like you had a really strong visual image when you were writing the lyrics.
Yeah, just the idea of showing up, you know, leaving where you're from, or just going to this place. You knock on the door and these sisters are, you know, pouring drinks and they're wearing their bathing suits and everybody's getting fucked up, and it's like, it's a fun place to go. It's kind of just a weird, dirty, sexy, fun song.
After the main lyric in the chorus, then, do you say, "I want to sit in and die"? I can't decipher those lyrics. What do you say there?
I want to sit in and die. It's like escape, you know. Yeah, so I use dark words a lot. You know, there's a lot of grim vernacular, but it's usually sort of used in a way that it means sometimes the opposite.
Sorrow found me when I was young. Sorrow waited, sorrow won.
Just on the subject of lyrics as well, do any of the guys in the band ever veto your lyrics? Do they ever go, "Nah, I'm not going to be in a band and you're going to sing that line"?
I mean, there have been things that they have a good ear for when they know that I'm maybe trying too hard or something. And I'll have something early on in the song that is just sort of for placement and that I'll keep trying to get better and replace with something. Just I won't be quite satisfied with it. And they're a good judge of, like, telling me when to not overdo it, that kind of thing. But I was actually just talking with my sister about how funny it is that they've let me get away with some things. My sister Rachel was bringing up the ballerina on the coffee table, cock in hand lyric, which is on a song from a few years ago. None of those guys were like, "No, I'm not sure I want to be in a band about it, you know, that has a guy dressed as a ballerina playing with himself." Things like that. I'm like, those guys give me a lot of leeway.
Yeah. Yep. Do you ever sing them differently? I mean, not differently, but do you actually try to mask the words a little bit as you're delivering the vocal in the studio?
That one, maybe I should have. You know, I don't know. I mean, like, I think good lyrics often just have to get out of the way, you know? It's like my favorite musicians, my favorite songs aren't really the ones where they're telling an explicit narrative. They're just giving some blurry hints at ideas and images and scenes and emotional sort of metaphors or whatever that don't really tell us an explicit story at all. Because those are the songs that I think have always been the kind that I can get into and make them my own. And So I'm spending so much more time taking lyrics out, you know, disconnecting things, because the blurrier it is, often the more powerful it is. But it's never nonsense. It's never just kind of, you know, refrigerator magnet poetry. You know, it's a lot of work.
Yeah, Michael Stipe, I mean, when you sort of talked about that, I was just kind of thinking in their glory days, in their heyday, I reckon, mm-hmm. you know, Stipe with REM was able to kind of give those snatches and paint pictures, but never kind of, you know, this equals that.
Swan humming. Bird, you know, hurrah, we're all free now. It's one of those things I've always just like no idea what that has. It has no meaning literally. Like that's the thing. I think when things feel like they mean something, rich is the closest you can get, and is the best kind of sort of songs. Because a song, there's a lot going on, and there's this whole, you you know, there's this whole intangible, non-literate or non-verbal sort of characters playing in this whole thing. So you can't step on everything. You got to get out of the way of the rest of the sort of the sonic experience. And lyrics and themes and, you know, what a song is about is almost sort of secondary to the whole thing. It's, you know, you got to play your role and sometimes sit down.
Stand up straight at the foot of your love. I lift my shirt up. Stand up straight at the foot of your love. I lift my shirt up.
I want to talk to you about Bloodbuzz, Ohio, just finally. And once again, I'm kind of hearing snatches of lyrics in here. There's a sexual quality of it, and you kind of, you know, talk about lifting your shirt up, and there's a hive of bees in here, which is another strong image of this song. Maybe just pinpoint the inspiration for this one and maybe what you're trying to get across in Bloodbuzz, Ohio.
This song is about trying to reconnect with something. I think maybe it's either, you know, youth or just your family or history or something that you feel is gone. And it's not specifically anything about necessarily moving back to Ohio from New York or anything like that. It's just the idea of your past and having these things that are in your blood. And, you know, an old love and old fears or whatever, or you can sometimes never quite shake. There's a surrender to it, I guess. Surrender to nostalgia or the things that make you you instead of trying to fight them and not trying to run away from it or something.
Okay, Matt Berninger, who is the lead singer of The National there, having a chat to me. Here is that track, Bloodbuzz, Ohio.
Stand up straight at the foot of your love. I lift my shirt up. Stand up straight at the foot of your love. I lift my shirt up. I was carried to Ohio in a swarm of.
The best new releases of the week, 2010 with Richard Kingsmill on Triple J.